Let's go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at what the Word of God says about the virgin birth this morning. Day removed from celebration of Christmas Day. But nonetheless, we're close. And there's such powerful truth in the whole concept here with the virgin birth. Luke 1:26, where we begin, says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, any time an angel manifests and would appear to someone, it's no doubt going to make the hair on your neck and your arms stand up, and a shock could come over you. And here's Mary, young lady, not expecting this at all. And a lot of times when God speaks to us or manifests himself when we're not expecting it, you know it's him, because you weren't doing anything to try to make anything happen. So you could think it's you causing that to happen. But, you know, we release faith. We do things like fast and pray. But let God minister to you when he wants to. I've had him speak to me and minister to me in some of the most unusual, unexpected times where I know it's, you know, it's not me doing anything. It's just him. So she's kind of like stunned here. She didn't see this coming. And it says, when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation would this be? And fear came upon her. And the angel said, Fear not, Mary. You found favor with God. Now, back in Proverbs chapter 3, it speaks there, as we embrace the word of God, we'll find favor with God. So, you know, by conclusion, Mary was a young lady who had a reverence for the word of God, or a respect, or the term fear the Lord is used. She had a reverence for the word, and as a result, she was in a position to be used by God. So God says, Fear not, you found favor with God. Or God sees something working in you that he can come and work through you. And he says, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, one of the questions we need to answer concerning the will of God in our life is, how is this going to be? Because the things God would do is going to be beyond your ability. And in turn, then, only he can get all the glory for it. If you're doing something in your own ability, you could endeavor to take the glory and allow pride to come in. But if you know there's no way except that he has done it, then all the glory goes to God, and it's by the Holy Ghost. So whatever challenge you have before you, and or something that God's revealed to you as his desire for your life, and you say, well, how can this be? How can this be? The answer is the same, the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you. Now, the significance of the virgin birth, first of all, I want to mention that it was prophesied in the book of Isaiah, and there's two prophecies here. Isaiah 7:14 is the one that we first look at, where it prophesies. It says, "The Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. So the prophet Isaiah prophesied this specifically, and we're going to look at the reason why here in a moment. But before we do, in chapter 9, verse 6, there is another prophecy here concerning the Christ being born. And I got the wrong chapter here. Isaiah 9. 6. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Now, he's not talking about earthly government, but rather the governing of the heart of men will be by the Spirit of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to him to be Lord of our life and to govern our life. It says in Jeremiah 17, "Cursed is the man who puts his trust in man. If you make man your source, you bring yourself under a curse. Whereas we trust in the Lord," it says we'd be blessed there in Jeremiah 17. But here he's saying, "The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with just judgment and with justice, and henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So he is also here prophesying of the Christ to come. And when the angel spoke to Mary, he is referencing what was prophesied here in Isaiah. Amen. That the son is going to be born, and the authority of God established through the lineage of David, the government of God established over man. Now, I'll make mention in the founding of our country, if you read after some of the early fathers, they were very clear. They understood this and clearly stated that if Jesus isn't Lord, if we don't let God Almighty be the governing agent, all the authority that we would set up underneath that as man will all be corrupted. But it all begins with self-government as people submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the lordship of Jesus Christ means that he is the authority of our life. Now, I'll also make mention here in Isaiah chapter 9, it does prophesy, beginning speaking in verse 1, of the basically the judgment coming on the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, which became known as Galilee. And that those people would see the light, there would be a bright light shine in the midst of that darkness. And out of that, to put it in a nutshell, the Christ would come. For to us a child is born, a son is given. So when the Pharisees were saying, well, nothing good can come out of Galilee. This Jesus can't be the Christ. He can't come out of Galilee. They didn't know what the Word of God said. Because Isaiah clearly prophesied that light's going to shine out from Galilee. But they didn't know the scriptures. They didn't understand. You know, you can understand some things and not understand all things in the scripture. And then in turn, you miss certain things. You miss God. We should endeavor our whole lifetime on this earth to continue growing in our understanding of the Word of God. And then we can see clearly the plan of God. And as I was sharing the past 2 weeks about the plan of God, as the plan of God's unfolding, it brings glory to God in the highest and goodwill toward men. or the heart of God, the love of God's expressed and released as his plan's being done. Now, Romans 5:12 says through one man's sin, death came upon the earth, and sin passed on to all men. Through Adam's sin, death came upon all. You know, sometimes people ask the question, well, if God's God and he's good, why is all this evil on the earth? Well, he gave that first man, Adam, authority, and Adam turned it over to Satan. And when he obeyed Satan, he took on Satan's nature, and sin nature came into Adam and is passed on through Adam's seed, or we are born with that. Then as we would look at the book of Romans, you see as the law comes, or the will of authorities known, it is the watering to the seed, and then you die spiritually. In chapter 7, Paul said, I was alive once the law came, sin revived, and I died. In other words, we're all as when you're conceived spiritually alive, you're born spiritually alive. And your parents first represent the authority of God to you, and they begin to say no. It's one of the first words you learn. Now, as hard as you try for them to learn to say daddy first or mommy, it's kind of like a little competition sometimes, you know, parents with kids. What are they going to say first, daddy or mommy? Inevitably, no becomes one of the very first concepts a child grasps, and it's a rebellion to your will being expressed to them. And in the continuation of that, there comes the point where when they understand the rebellion, that the sin nature has become watered as a seed, you are born with that, and we die spiritually. And at that point, someone could be born again when the light of the gospel comes and their eyes are open to understand who Jesus is. Do not just try to lead children to say a prayer because they are led into deception. They need to understand they've sinned, been separated from God. They need a savior, that they've lost something. And it can only be regained through Jesus Christ. And in God sending his son to die for their sin, that was the expression of his love. And they can be born again. Don't be anxious about all of that. Many of people end up led in deception through a religious thought and by fearful parents just wanting them, well, what if something happens? Yeah, I want them to be saved. Or sometimes it's even pride to boast how young their child was saved. They've got to understand they're a sinner before they can understand who a savior can be to them. I know the day I died spiritually. I tell this story sometimes. God revealed to me the day I died spiritually. As a little boy, I was being taken to church and I heard the Ten Commandments. And I was about 5 or 6 years of age. And my sister and I both had little piggy banks. And I stole pennies out of her piggy bank. Maybe there's a few nickels and dimes in there as well. But I know something happened to me that day. And it was that I died spiritually and the presence of God was gone. And after that, I would inquire and I'd ask my mother things about God because I knew instinctively as a child, something happened. Well, that rebellion to the law of God brought spiritual death. And everyone enters into that experience. And you're born with a sin nature. But praise God, we're born again through Jesus Christ with a different nature. We are born of the Spirit without sin, just as Jesus was the Word made flesh, the Word incarnate, God took on flesh. Mary gave him the flesh, but the seed of Jesus was of the Holy Ghost. The nature of God was put into her by the Holy Ghost. And as Jesus came into this world, we come into the kingdom of God, born without sin, born again, a different kind of creature, a different kind of man, a different race of people. What race do you belong to? We belong to the race of God, the race of Jesus Christ. He was called the firstborn of many brethren. The first of his kind, a new prototype. He was the pattern we all follow after. So the virgin birth, with that, God was bypassing the sin nature passed on from the seed of man that was necessary for Jesus to be able to be the perfect sacrifice. He was born without sin. He shed his blood. His life was pure. He lived a sinless life. He walked as a son of God and resisted every temptation. He was God and man. He could have sinned. He was man, but he didn't. And as Jesus walked, we are born of the Spirit in the same likeness, the same image. We are man, we can sin, but we are also born of God. We are children of God. We are born of His Spirit. It's not our nature to sin. So as our mind is renewed, that we don't walk according to the old ways of Adam. We walk according to the new ways. And when man fell, back in Genesis 3:15, the first prophecy comes forth. And God began to speak to Satan, to Eve, and to Adam of the curse that was coming on the earth. And God spoke to Satan and said, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Satan was going to carry out the crucifixion, the death of the Christ. But Jesus Christ would bruise Satan's head, or he would strip him of his authority that he had over man. Satan does not have authority over us, for we are born of the Spirit of God. We are the children of God, sons and daughters of God, under the authority and lordship of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus crushed his head. You know, the head represents authority. He was bruised for a moment. He was suffered in hell for us for 3 days, but rose up victorious. Hallelujah. So the virgin birth, the significance of it is that the Word was made flesh, and the Christ came who could become that perfect offering and sacrifice. And it's through his body and his blood that he pays the price to redeem us from all sin. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1 here once again. This is so powerful. In Luke 1, we began at verse 26. The angel speaking to Mary, you're going to give birth to the child. You'll call his name Jesus. He'll be great. He shall be the Son of God. His kingdom, there'll be no end. And she's saying, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And just as it's impossible for us to walk in victory apart from Christ, with God all things are possible. Don't make excuses for sin, but says, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I will walk in victory. I will rise above the power of sin and boldly declare, sin has no power over me, as it says in Romans chapter 6. Satan has no power over me. His power has been broken. I do not have to be dominated by sin. For Jesus conquered sin and death, and I am raised up in the likeness of his resurrection. The angel says, your cousin Elizabeth hath conceived in her old age. So God gives a sign here. It would be the fact that Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist in her old age. And the angel says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. With God nothing shall be impossible. Christ coming to the earth was by way of a miracle. Him paying the price to redeem us from sin was by way of a miracle. His resurrection was by a miracle. Everything of the Christian life is based on the miraculous. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Here was her response in faith. The angel spoke these things. She could have let unbelief rule her heart and rise within her and say, well, I don't know about that. But she said, be it unto me according to thy word. There are many promises God's given us. We have a covenant with God. We have covenant promises from God. And there can be times it could seem impossible. But we need to hold fast to our faith and operate in faith like Mary did and declare, be it unto me according to thy word. We're not saying prayers with wishfulness and some hopefulness. Well, maybe if enough people pray, or I pray loud enough, or stomp my feet, or throw a tantrum, maybe God will do something. No, it's according to something. The things God would do are according to something. As bringing this out some last week, how that word is throughout the letter to the Ephesians. And God is gracious to us. And there's the work he would do, the redemptions, according to the riches of his grace. It's according to that purpose and plan that he had. And Mary's saying, be it done. May the will of God that's been expressed be done according to the word. What has God spoken to you? What is his promise to you? Don't let go of it. Doesn't matter how long it takes. We hold fast according to thy word. What are you believing God for today? Lord, be it done according to your word. Hallelujah. Ah, praise the Lord. I have expectation. I need manifestation of healing yet in my body. Be it done unto me according to thy word, O Lord. That's my confession every day and every night. I fully expect nothing less. Be it done unto me according to thy word. You see, the timing of it is irrelevant. Faith is now. Faith says in the now, God, you said this. With you, nothing is impossible. I expect according to your word. And because of that, just as Abraham, it says, was fully persuaded and gave glory to God. Let us rise and give glory to God for our expectation. What are you expecting from him? If you don't embrace what his word says to you, then you won't expect anything and you won't get anything. But as we embrace what God has spoken to us, we recognize this is his will and nothing's impossible for him. And we will hold fast the confession of our faith and we will continue to give glory to him. Until we see manifest to the praise of the glory of his grace. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all that we can offer up to him, all of our praises. And he looks for hearts that are being offered wholeheartedly.